Let's turn now to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, we come back to our series on the book. It's been a few weeks because of a week of vacation and then a baptism. And so we take up this evening verses 12 through 14. Let's not read the entire chapter, but let's read verses 7 and following. The opening verses list those things that Paul looked to and put his trust in before. And then he comes to verse 7 and says this, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." So far we read the chapter. Let's take note again of the text and reread those verses 12 through 14. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christian life is like that of running a race. A long, hard race that requires strength, requires persistence, requires endurance. The question that I pose to you this evening is, how is your race going? As you sit here this evening, you are right in the middle of your race as a child of God. It began the moment that God worked in you by His Spirit, the life of Jesus Christ. And it will end the day that He brings you home to glory. Picture in your mind a man or a woman running a long race. And someone comes up to that man or woman running that long race and asks questions. As they're running, how is the race going? How are your legs doing right now? Where is your mind at? Do you know where you're going? Do you have your eyes set upon the finish line? Are you working hard and pressing toward that end? Those are the questions that we face this evening as we think about the running of our spiritual race of faith. The Apostle Paul in our text this evening compares his Christian life, and we do that with him this evening, to the running of a race. Not an uncommon figure in the Bible, used elsewhere, for example, in 1 Corinthians 9 and Hebrews 12. But here the focus of the Apostle Paul, as it's expressed in the theme of the sermon, is this: press toward the mark. Culmination of what Paul says in our text is exactly that. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. So we take that as our theme this evening, pressing toward the mark. Let's see in the first place tonight the prize. In the second place, let's consider the pursuit. And then in the third place, let's see the possibility. Pressing toward the mark, the prize, the pursuit, and the possibility. Every race has a finish line, a goal, an end. That toward which you are running and what you hope to get to as one who is participating in a race. Paul in our text speaks of that end and what is awaiting for us at that end, which is a certain prize. What the Apostle Paul says here in our text arises out of what he finished with in the previous context. We had a sermon last time in our series on verses 10 and 11 of Philippians 3. Verse 10 begins, that I may know Him. Paul desired in the life here and now to know personally and intimately the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 10, to know the power of His resurrection. He wanted the power of the resurrection of Jesus to be real to him as he lives here and now, if he might attain, he says in verse 11, the resurrection of the dead. He wanted to know Christ as it relates to his life right now, so that one day in the future, and he goes all the way to the very end, he might attain to the culmination of our salvation, the resurrection of the body on that last day. So in the previous context, Paul gets to that very end of the Christian's salvation. And that's what leads him into the figure of a race. Leads him to say, with his eye on that very end, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. So that he describes that end in our text, circling back somewhat to that idea at the end of verse 11, the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Another way of describing what is the end for the Christian. And so before we get into the idea in the text of pressing toward that mark, we need to know that for which we are moving toward. And so we take up in this first point an explanation of that language in our text, the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Let's break that down. We see that he speaks of the mark in our text. The mark is very simply the finish line, the end, the goal of the race. He says, with respect to that, that it is the mark for the prize. For the prize. At the end, at the mark, when one arrives to the end of the race, there is a certain prize. Paul was certainly familiar with the ancient Olympic Games at which there were races. So that when one came to the end of the race and was victorious in that race, they received a prize. The prize of those Olympic races either being a crown on their head or a garland around their neck. Paul speaks of the Christian's race of faith and says, when the end comes, there is a prize. But it is a prize that is so much greater than any earthly prize. Those ancient Olympians competed for honor. Present day athletes compete for fame and riches. Paul has his mind on a prize that outstrips those in a way that they can't even and should not be even compared. So great and so wonderful is the prize that awaits the believer at the end of the race. That prize is described this way in the text. It is, he says in verse 14, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The literally upward or up calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize has to do with the calling of God. God's calling of Christians is His powerful voice that draws believers unto Himself in life and in salvation. God's voice is always powerful. As we think about God's voice, think about the creation. Out of nothing, God called everything into existence in a moment. But now so much greater is the call of God of believers. For to a dead sinner, God's powerful, efficacious voice draws that dead sinner in life unto Himself. So that the call of God has that as its end. We are brought into the light of life and we are brought into the very family of God and we are brought into the reality of fellowship with God Himself. That calling of God is described in the text as the high calling. And there is some difficulty in understanding exactly what Paul has in mind when he says the high calling. And there are really, I think, two options to understanding that word high in its description of the calling, both of which make perfect sense in light of the context. I have a preference which I'll mention in a moment. On the one hand, the high could refer to the source of the calling. The high calling. The calling which comes from above, emphasizing that it is the calling of God. God powerfully. God sovereignly. God unconditionally, God unilaterally, God of grace and mercy calls unto Himself His people in life and in salvation. So on the one hand, it may refer to the source of the calling, bolstering the idea that it is the calling and work of God. Or on the other hand, the word high is a description of the fruit or the effect of that calling of God. When God calls a believer unto Himself, it is the effect of being with God. And here the emphasis is on the fact that it is a high calling in this sense, that the end of that calling is that we are brought unto God Himself as we dwell with Jesus Christ in heaven and with Jesus Christ in the new heaven and the new earth. Either way, you understand the point that the apostle is making and how either of those fits with the apostle's idea in our text. And then to round it out, he says that it is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Everything about that call of God is in and by and through Jesus Christ. Those whom God calls unto Himself are those whom God has elected in Jesus Christ in eternity. The basis on which God can even do this, which is draw unto Himself a people unto life and salvation, is exactly because Jesus atoned for our sins and merited our life and righteousness. The external call in the preaching of the gospel through which God works is the voice of Christ, and the internal call where God works powerfully in the hearts of His people is the Spirit of Christ as He works in us. And the fruit of that call is to be with Jesus in glory. Everything about the calling of God of us is in and by Christ. The prize that awaits the believer, very simply, is to be with God. To be with God in the glory of heaven. To be with God in the face of Jesus Christ. To commune with God and to fellowship with God and to enjoy God perfectly in heaven. And then beyond that, in the new heaven and new earth, in body and in soul, in the new creation that Jesus Christ will usher in. That's the point. The eternal glories that are to come for you and me as the children of God. And that is why I lean towards saying that the word high is a description of where we are going to be with the living God in the face of Jesus Christ as the fruit of God's work to save us in Him. That's the prize that awaits you as a believer and me as a child of God at the end of our race. Now, very importantly, what the Apostle Paul says in our text is that his mindset is that he has not yet received the prize. Any runner knows that mindset is critically important. How you think. Going into a race, at the beginning of the race, at the middle of the race, as you end the race, where your mind is at is very important to run effectively that race and make it to the end. If your mind is in a bad place or if you're thinking the wrong thoughts, it translates into how the body performs in a race. And so the mind needs to be in the right place. And the Apostle Paul in our text says, this is what my mindset is concerning myself and concerning that prize. And his mindset is, I have not yet attained the prize. What I'm getting this from in the text is the beginning of verse 13, as it comes out of what he says in verse 12. But take note of verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I count. I reckon. I understand. Mind. This is how I view myself. And how I view myself is that I have not yet apprehended. And you'll know from the text that that word apprehended is important. It's used multiple times in verses 12 and 13. To apprehend is to take hold of, to seize, to receive. And Paul says here, my mindset is that I have not yet apprehended. Well, let's go back to verse 12 and see how he develops this thought. he says at the beginning of verse 12, not as though I had already attained. And that goes back to the end of verse 11, the resurrection of the dead. Resurrection of the dead, that final end of my salvation, I have not yet attained it. Either we're already perfect, he says in verse 12, or complete. He knows that he's not perfect or complete yet. He's living on this earth, which is filled with sin. He has a sinful nature that still clings to him. He has a body that is dying and is going to die. He's not yet complete. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. More on that later in the sermon. And then he says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. The whole point of verses 12 and 13 is to say this: I have not yet received the prize. I have not yet reached the finish line. And that mindset is so critically important, because when one says, I haven't reached the end and I haven't yet reached the prize, it's the very thing that presses you on to keep going in the race. Beloved, this is our mindset. I'm not to the end yet. I haven't received the prize yet. And exactly because I haven't received the prize yet, this is why I press toward that mark every day of my life. You understand how important this is, because it keeps us from having a passive attitude towards our faith and walk as Christians. And the devil very much wants us to have a passive attitude towards our faith and walk as Christians. If this isn't our mindset, that there's a finish line out there and there's a prize to come, we're not going to be motivated with the zeal that we need to press toward that mark. One of the ways in which this is sometimes described, as we think about it personally as Christians, is this way. Maybe you've run across this in your reading or in your conversations. Already, but not yet. As we think about who we are as believers, we say, already, but not yet. Already, there are things that are true of us now. As you sit here this evening, critically important things are true of you and me right now. Right now, you have life with God. Right now, you have salvation from your sins in Jesus Christ. Right now, you are righteous in Jesus Christ. Right now, as we heard this morning and as we're experiencing right now, we have fellowship with the living God through His Word and by His Spirit. Right now, we have the fullness of life in Jesus. Already, right now, that is true. We don't say right now, I don't have life, I don't have salvation, I don't have Jesus Christ, I don't have the fullness of life. We don't say that. We say, I have it, in principle. I have it, and I experience it. And that's so important for us as Christians, to know that and to live in the consciousness of that every single day of our lives. Already, yes. But the perspective of the Apostle Paul here is not yet. And for the believer and for the church, both of those are true. In principle, we have the fullness of life in Jesus and we experience that. But there is something not yet And the not yet is the very thing of which the Apostle Paul speaks in our text. The very thing, therefore, that presses us forward in the Christian's race of faith. And as we think about the running of our race, though this already says something about the running of the race, the mindset is that of the Apostle Paul. I count myself not to have apprehended, to have laid hold of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the prize. And our mindset with respect to that prize. Which leads us now into the second point of the sermon, which is the pursuit. I take as the main culminating word of these verses what Paul says in verse 14. At the beginning of the verse, which is why it's reflected in the theme of the sermon, I press toward the mark. That's the pursuit of the Christian. This is the emphasis of the Apostle Paul in the text. One of the reasons it's the emphasis is that's what he's leading up to in the description at the end of verse 13 of how this is done. But it's also the emphasis because in verse 12, when he says, I follow after, that in the original is the exact same word as press toward in verse 14. Right at the beginning, he says, I follow after, and then he comes to verse 14, and it's the culmination of the idea, I press toward that mark. This is a very descriptive word. It's a very descriptive word that normally in the New Testament refers to persecute. If you read the word persecute in the New Testament, that's the same word as follow after and press toward in our text. For example, Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. That's the same word. I mention that because the image in our minds of persecute bolsters the image of press toward as we think about a race. What is true of the devil in the world that persecutes the church? What is true is that it is a very active, zealous, aggressive pursuit of in an attempt to destroy the Church of Jesus Christ. There's nothing passive about the devil and the world's persecution of the church. They don't sit back and if it happens, it happens. No, there is an aggression. There is a zeal. There is a purpose that they're trying to accomplish in the persecution of the church. With the same zeal and purpose in that, Paul takes this word and says, this is what characterizes the child of God's running the race of faith. And that's embedded in the very figure itself, is it not? We think in our minds right now of a runner. And we think in our minds of one who is actively, intentionally, zealously, aggressively trying to get to the end of his race. That's what characterizes the Christian's race of faith. We press toward that mark. In the text, how this is done is described. And we explain that under 3 points, each of which start with the letter F. Forget, forward, and focus. as we press toward that end where the prize is, forget, forward, and focus. Let's take those in order. Verse 13, the apostle says, forgetting those things which are behind. In pressing toward the mark to receive the prize, we forget, Paul says, those things which are behind. The illustration of running a race fits so well with this particular point. If we're going to run a race effectively, obviously it's the case that the most effective way to get to that finish line is not to look back in the other direction. You start trying to run this way, running with your head backwards, it doesn't work. At least it doesn't work very well. To run effectively, one must forget those things which are behind. What the apostle says here, in forgetting those things which are behind, needs to be harmonized with other commands of God in the Scriptures. Particularly the Word of God in the Bible to remember. On the one hand, we have God's Word that says, remember. And here, we have Paul saying in the Christian's race of faith, forget those things which are behind. It is clear, the Bible tells us to remember. Many examples could be given. Psalm 77 verse 11 is an example. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. God most certainly, if we apply it to the race of faith, tells us to remember something. To not forget something. But understand that when it comes to the remembering of the past, always in the Scriptures, what God calls us to remember and to set our minds on is who He is and what He has done. Look back and remember, God says to us, because when you look back and remember in the right and biblical way, set your mind upon My faithfulness and My goodness and My love and My grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anytime you remember, anytime you look back and see Me. See who I am and see what I have done in Jesus. And to apply that to the race of faith, exactly doing that is what spurs us on to take one step after another to get to that finish line and to receive the prize. And so we don't say tonight, don't remember anything at all. The word tonight is don't do in your mind what you can do to a hard drive of a computer and wipe it clean so that it does not even exist in your mind. That's not possible as Christians. We know the past. We remember the past. If we try not to think about the past, the fruit of that is often we will think about the past. But God says this, always think about what's behind from the perspective of My faithfulness and love and goodness in Jesus. And that will propel you to go forward. Paul has something else in mind then. When he says here, forget those things which are behind. And the idea of that word forget is helpful. Don't be concerned with, don't focus on the things which are behind. And in light of what I just said a moment ago, the idea is don't focus on certain things which are behind in the wrong way. And in the wrong way would be independently from who God is and what He has done in His love and faithfulness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't set your heart on things outside of, don't focus on, independent of Jesus and who He is and what He's done for you. To make this real, forget those things which are behind. Don't focus, for example, in the wrong way on your past sins, your past failures, your past faults. To focus on them in the wrong way, independently of Jesus Christ, is destructive to running the race of faith with hope and with joy, but instead would lead to despair, anger, and frustration. Think about the Apostle Paul. Think about the past of the Apostle Paul and how the devil would work very hard on him with respect to his past. The beginning of Philippians 3. Who was Paul at one time in his life and for many years in his life? A proud, self-righteous Pharisee who looked to himself for his salvation. A persecutor of the people of God. A hater of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can imagine how the devil would work on the mind of Paul to focus on who he was prior to the event on the Damascus Road, to focus on that independently of the Word of God in Jesus. Paul, that's not who you are. You're not that man anymore. This is your identity, a follower of me, saved by my grace, independent of Jesus. And all of a sudden, those thoughts that he could have focused on would have led him to hopelessness and to despair. And every one of us sitting here could do the same thing. We could all look back in our lives when things weren't right, when we were sinning, when we weren't living as we were called to, when it was weak faith, when we were living for ourselves instead of for God. And we can all look back to the specifics too. The specific sins that hurt people. Specific sins that were offensive to God. We can all do that. And Paul says to us this evening, God says to us this evening, forget those things which are behind. Don't focus on those. It's not who you are. It's not who I am. If you think about them, and if they come before your mind, immediately this, as quick as possible, covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, it's not your identity. This is your identity. A follower of Jesus, saved by His grace. To focus on those things leads to despair, hopelessness, not a pressing toward the mark. That's one end of the spectrum, forgetting those things which are behind. Think about the other end of the spectrum. Forgetting those things which are behind, thinking and focusing on things independent of God in Jesus Christ. The one was the failures and sins. The other can be the successes and faithfulness. Okay, the Apostle Paul could be over here, pre-Damascus Road, but then he could also be over here, the greatest apostle the church had, the greatest preacher that ever walked the face of the earth apart from Jesus Christ, the man who established churches and preached the gospel unto the salvation of many. And the devil would work just as hard over there. Think about that, the Apostle Paul. Focus on that. Look at what you have done. And that too, that nasty pride resting on laurels is just as destructive to the pressing forward to the mark. Can you think about them? Yes. But never independent of God in Jesus. All of which is but the grace of God and the work of God in a man. One leads to hopelessness and despair. The other leads to a resting on your laurels and pride and arrogancy. God says, forget those things which are behind. Don't look back in the wrong way. Instead, we look forward. As we press toward that mark, the first is forget, the second is forward. And that's a description of what we have at the end of verse 13. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. A reaching forth to the things which are before, the things that we talked about in the first point of the sermon, the prize that awaits us at the end of the race, and the glories to come. This is effective running. It's all forward, forward, forward. Mindset forward, leaning forward, one foot in front of the other, forward to get to the end of the race. Practically what it means to reach forth for those things, we can say is threefold. Number one, set your eyes on the things which are forward. If we are going to press toward that mark, we need to set our eyes on the goal. Set our eyes upon the prize. When you're running a race, you need to see that end, or you need to think about that end. And that keeps you going. And beloved, this is why in our Christian race of faith, we are constantly, in all of our life, thinking about the things of God. This is why we are here on the Lord's Day twice. Because when we come here twice on the Lord's Day, whether or not we're thinking about actually running our race, we don't need to necessarily think about this every single day. What we're doing is we're setting our mind on the things of God, of heaven, of salvation, of glory. This is why we're busy in our lives in God's Word on a daily basis and in prayer. Because His Word and prayer takes us away from this earth and brings us up into the heavenly heights of where God is. This is why in our conversations we love to talk about the things of God's kingdom. Because when we talk about them, our mind is lifted up beyond the here and now to the world to come. We set our mind on the prize. That's what it means in the first place, to press toward the mark. In the second place, what it means is that we long for it. We hope for it. That's captured in the language at the end of verse 13, a reaching forth. What is the idea of that reaching forth? You're reaching forth because you want what's in front of you. And that's the Christian's hope. That's the Christian's longing. And so very actively we set our mind on these things, and very actively we are saying and we are living in such a way that says, this is what I want to achieve and receive in my Christian walk. What do we want? What do we long for? We long for the prize of heaven. And then in the third place, what it means is that we live actively in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To press toward that mark, our eye on the prize, longing for that prize, is very simply living day by day the life of faith in Jesus. We know full well that the pressing toward that mark and the receiving of that prize is not because of what we do. Everything about it is about Jesus Christ. Christ is the reason. He is the power. He is everything as it relates to the pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high glory of God. And so what we do in our Christian walk is live the life of faith. We actively trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We actively believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We live our life out of our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why I say, it doesn't necessarily need to be the case that every day you're saying to yourself, I'm running a race. I hope this week we do, as this is the food for our souls. But when we set our mind upon the end, when we long for glory, and when we actively live the life of faith in Jesus Christ, we are running. We are running just as God calls us to run, and we are pressing toward that mark. Forward thinking, with the eyes set upon Christ. The one other passage especially that speaks of running a race is Hebrews 12. Looking to Jesus, Hebrews 12 at the beginning, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the nature of pressing toward the mark. Looking and trusting in Jesus and living the life of faith in Christ. Forget. Follow. Focus. Paul says in verse 13, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do. The singular purpose in my life that drives everything else. I press toward the mark. Beloved, we're faced with the question tonight. What is the focus of your life? What is your life all about? All of its different elements, all of its different spheres, boil it down to one thing. What is it? That's the question as we think about the race of faith. You see, the temptation is always for us, yeah, to run the race of faith, and to press toward that mark, but also to have all sorts of other races that we are running. So that if somebody were to follow you for a week, and you come to the end of the week, and you ask that man, okay, let's think of a figure of a race. What's this man, this woman, this young person's life all about? What are they pursuing? What's the end? What constitutes the essence of their life here below? And we don't want it to be the case that if somebody were to ask us that, it would be this. That man is singularly purposed in his life to make money. The purpose of that woman's life, it reverses all around what she has and how she looks. The purpose of that young person's life, he's a sports guy. If you didn't know anything else about him, his purpose is to be the best athlete he could be. Or will it be this? I detected that there was something that brought everything together in that man, woman, or young person's life. It's Christ. It's faith. It's glory. It's hope. It's not here below, but it's in the life to come. The point is not, don't pursue business and growth in business. The point is not, don't be an athlete and even use those gifts to the best of your ability. The point is this, and this is the nature of the Christian life. Everything we do, doesn't matter what it is encompassed in this race of faith. Everything we do is with an eye on heaven, a longing for glory, and arises out of and is in harmony with my living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the center of it all, and He's the purpose of it all. That's the focus of the Christian, the singular focus of the believer. And so I say again, what is your focus in life? What is it all about? And may this word lead us more and more to connect all of the other areas in our life. It's easy with respect to Sunday to think about how this relates. But then we think about our parenting and our relationship with our spouses and our work and our pleasure and our sports and our academics, so that all of it fits with and is part of pressing toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus. The Apostle Paul in the text reveals what is the possibility of this. There's one part of the text that I have not said anything about yet, and that is the end of verse 12. Paul says, "But I follow after if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." And that's the possibility. The possibility of everything. The possibility of pressing toward the mark. The possibility of receiving the prize at the end of the race. Paul says, "I have been apprehended by Jesus Christ. I have been laid hold of, seized by Jesus Christ. I have been the object of Jesus Christ saying to me, 'You are mine. I died for you. I arose for you. I govern all things in heaven for you. I give you my Spirit, which is your life.'" Christ apprehended the Apostle Paul on Damascus Road, and Christ has apprehended each one of His own, and He says, "You are mine." And the one whom Christ apprehends is apprehended to the end of receiving that prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. If I may apprehend, if I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ. When Christ lays a hold of you, when Christ says to you, "You are mine," nothing will ever separate you from the love of God in Jesus. And you will, because of that, receive that prize. And you will, because of that, have the life of Jesus in you. So that in response to the sermon this evening, you walk out of the sanctuary and you say, "I'm pressing forward. I'm moving on in my life. I'm forgetting what is behind. I am reaching forth. This is my renewed focus in my life, Christ and the prize to come. And I have that because Jesus has apprehended me." People of God, run. Press forward. Today. Tonight. The nature of the Christian's race of faith is we do not know when the end will come. Think about the last 3 weeks. Announcement tonight. Mr. Schimmel, old man, died. Received his crown of life in heaven this morning. A few weeks ago, Jory Mulder, middle-aged woman, died, received the prize in Father's House of Many Mansions. Just this past week, Mr. Josh DeGram from our Hudsonville congregation, 36 years old, died, received his prize as he's with his Savior in heaven. Old man, middle-aged, younger man, and everything in between as we know and you've experienced. You may think you know when the end is, but you don't. And so from that comes this very simple word. We don't wait to run. We press toward now. We leave those things which are behind. We press forward in our life and we have this as our singular purpose. In other words, beloved, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today. We trust in Him today and we live for Him today and we do so with the confidence, therefore, every morning when we wake up and every evening when we go to bed, if this is my last hour, praise the Lord, because to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we pray that Thou will bless Thy word, and may it be powerful by Thy Spirit to quicken in us a lively faith and a life lived not for self, but for Thee, with an eye on that prize to come, the Lord Jesus Christ in fellowship with Thee in heaven. We pray, Father, work as only Thou art able to work to that end in our hearts. For Jesus' sake, Amen.